Hi, Steve Cooper, Rank Success, and today's broadcast is some food for thought that I wanted to share with you in relation to performance. And the idea behind that is that recently I went to the emergency services show up at the NEC. In fact, this was yesterday, so I'm back today, and I've got, you know, things on my mind that I wanted to share with you because I think you'll enjoy this, particularly if you're going for promotion, and especially to Sergeant, Inspector and Chief Inspector, so the federated ranks, because this broadcast, if you like, what I'm going to be talking about is about performance, police performance, and as a police officer, for you to think through and to reflect on what that means for you, because part of the role of a Sergeant, Inspector and Chief Inspector that you share in common is leadership for people, performance and change. So when I try and deconstruct leadership for people and get them to think about it, it's such a big subject that it's better if you think about it. It's much more user-friendly, if you like, mentally, when you're thinking through it, is to split it down, put it into context. And the three bits of context are: it's leadership, yes, but it's for people, of course, performance especially, because that's about your professionalism, and change. So with that in mind, when I went to the emergency services show, which I enjoyed, by the way, it was fantastic. I would recommend you, if you like to look at Gucci kit, things that are available or are coming onto the market. So in terms of, you know, it's not just about the police, but it's about, you know, the other emergency services, fire, ambulance, all the Gucci new models, breathing equipment, diving equipment, you name it, it's their training programs, aerials, airway radios, airwave radios, all the technology is all there. So it was very useful from that perspective to walk around. It's a massive show, and I quite enjoyed it, but I am a bit of a geek. I do like it. I left policing a long time ago, but as you will know if you listen to some of my podcasts, I do get around a bit. I do speak to people. I have interviewed people who are still in policing so that I can share those insights and those tips with you as prospective promotion candidates, to help you approach your opportunity, your challenge of a promotion selection process, whatever that looks like in your force. And today, that's what I wanted to do, because at the emergency services show, they also have guest speakers from various disciplines. So there's a bit around health and welfare and well-being. So they've got coaches, counsellors and other people doing presentations at various times. So the ones that I went to when I went up there yesterday, I started off with the first one, which was Lord Hogan Howe, who was talking about the importance of data and digital aspects and banking and joining up the systems around investigation and all the gaps for expanding the capacity for investigation. And the cooperation that banks need to do more of in relation to investigation, a bit like the insurance companies do. There were lots of points in there, but some of them kind of stood out to me. But he was talking about, you know, the insurance companies share fraud information very, very well. In comparison, the banks don't do that. So that was one of the takeaways I thought about and that resonated with me. And maybe I'll do a separate podcast about the content of his presentation. But the one I wanted to focus on, and the one that this is concerned with, is one around performance. And the second presentation I went to was called A Victim Focus Approach to Performance. And that president, the speaker for that was Paul Anderson, who is the Deputy Chief Constable of Humberside Police. And he was being interviewed by a colleague, or he's been asked questions, which prompted his responses. And for me, I happened to bump in, interestingly, I happened to bump into a couple of my customers as well, previous customers who have been promoted successfully, and were in the audience. And I can see why. And they will have taken away some fantastic tips and insights, which I'm now going to share with you, to stand them in good stead for their upcoming promotion processes. So this is Paul Anderson, who's the Deputy Chief Constable who has been interviewed as the kind of format for this presentation in one of the theatre, speaker theatres there. And it was very much around a victim-first approach in Humberside. So Paul Anderson is the Deputy Chief Constable for Humberside, which he describes as a medium-sized force. And just some of the points I'm going to cover in this, for instance, just so you kind of get an overview are, you know, the theme around, you're going to get a snapshot around performance from a deputy chief constable's perspective. And it's not very often, certainly I've never known it, unless you're lucky enough to have a one-to-one with a deputy chief constable, to share perspectives, to get some really good insights into how they approached it. And the thing I like with this is, it's about a force that has gone from a poor rating to, through the processings and through the challenges, to get to better, if you like, to get to good. So what does that journey look like and sound like and feel like for the people within the organisation? So that was quite interesting to me from that perspective. But we're going to talk about some of the themes now, you know, leadership at all levels, responsibility at all levels, the expectations that he has and the command team have of everybody in the organisation in terms of performance, turning the ship around, if you like. Peel specifically, so this is the police effectiveness, efficiency and legitimacy reports that are issued by HMIC. And those of you that have listened to these podcasts and looked at my free videos and my free guides and the blogs that I do, you'll notice that I've explained what Peel is and just how important that can be for you to have a read as a promotion candidate before you go for your process, because it's almost like a tailor-made brief for you as an overview of your force's performance, a snapshot of where it is, and specifically it's around you focusing on what needs to improve or change. You'll also hear lots of tips and insights in this, which you'll pick up from your own perspective, depending on your own experience and where you are, and depending on which rank you're going for. So if you're going for Sergeant, Inspector or Chief Inspector, there'll be some slightly different nuances around that that you'll take from you. And the very interesting thing also that was talked about was the massive issue in policing, really, in terms of absorbing police time, around mental health and mental health call-outs and the proportion of police time that is spent, and the way that this force and this DCC and this command team dealt with that and are dealing with it, and the outcomes of that at the moment, which I find quite interesting. And also interesting that 22 other forces have been up to see how they're doing it at the moment. So clearly, in terms of good practice, Humberside are doing well. Now, as you know, with these podcasts or these broadcasts, whenever I'm talking to the audience, I know your time is busy. You can come back to this conversation at any time. But if you want to hit the ground running and you're thinking about, well, this is all very nice, Steve, you're talking for quite a while, how can I personally hit the ground running and get on with my preparation, effective preparation for a promotion board? And of course, you can do that at any time by downloading a digital bespoke toolkit for you if you're going for Sergeant, or if you're going for Sergeant to Inspector, or from Inspector to Chief Inspector. You will find bespoke digital toolkits that you can download with all the tips and guidance and information that you need. There's a 4-hour promotion masterclass that I've recorded with me suited and booted with my serious head on, speaking to you as a promotion candidate and covering all the ground you need to cover. And if you want to go and have a look what cops say about that, you can have a look at my testimonials page on my site, ranksuccess.co.uk, and you can make your own decisions. Part of what I do is provide a more free information than you can shake a stick at. And if that doesn't work, that's okay. This is not a problem at all. But I want you to be able to find information to make your decision, because that's ultimately what it's about. I can talk till the cows come home. You can listen till the cows come home. None of that will make any difference in relation to your chances of achieving promotion and being successful in the selection process, unless you take action of some sort, meaningful action. And I know how hard it is and difficult and challenging it can be to prepare for a promotion selection process. And because it's becoming increasingly competitive for available vacancies for different posts and formal leadership positions in policing, those that are not prepared stand out, just as those that have done the work set themselves apart from their colleagues. And those toolkits that I offer and the masterclass that I offer just help you go through and think through and work through those issues for yourself and bring your own experience and knowledge and skills to it. And the mix is dynamite. It helps set you apart and propel you ahead of your colleagues. So, okay, so I'm going to move on now through this. Well, I'm reading from my notes, actually, that I was scribbling away when I was at the presentation, because it was manna from heaven for me. And in terms of coming back to my customers and sharing these insights and, you know, for you to listen to and to think through and to work through. And, you know, by all means, let me know what you think. I'm always interested. And I know people do put comments on my YouTube channel where there's a whole load of free little videos. And I'll probably do a YouTube intro video for this, and I'll probably write a blog as well, because I like to kind of cover all three angles, because people learn differently, you learn differently, cops learn differently from each other. So, you know, some people like to read, some people like to listen to podcasts, some people like to watch videos. So blogs, videos, and, you know, different ways of learning are catered for. And in relation to this one, I'm now just going to kind of continue working through my notes. So there's no massive order to it. It's just as it came out of my head as this DCC was talking. Okay, now I could call this presentation, and I may well call it, The Spanish Inquisition. Now, the Spanish Inquisition, you'll have to Google it and have a look at it, but essentially medieval times, it's about finding witches, it's about finding heretics, and burning them, torturing them, and, you know, re-educating them, if you like. So, and Monty Python, again, for those of you, I'm of a different generation, but again, if you Google the Spanish Inquisition sketch by Monty Python, you'll know what I mean. It's a very humorous way of looking at the Spanish Inquisition, because nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Okay, and nobody wants to be part of the Spanish Inquisition. And the theme around that was brutality to get the job done. And interestingly for me, the DCC, Paul Anderson, used that word more than three times in his presentation. So over about the course of about an hour, I think it was, he used that word brutal two or three times. And I found that really interesting, because I read and love watching The Wire. So The Wire is an American cops TV series. If you get a chance to see it and you like cop series, have a look at it. It's very good. In there, the cops in there face what they call a CompStat performance regime. I think that was introduced by Bill Bratton, the NYPD, New York Police Department Commissioner, in terms of forcing accountability, forcing his officers, his command team, to be accountable through a very detailed scrutiny process around performance. And if you get the chance to Google CompStat or YouTube, find the YouTube video. I'll probably put it in the blog that I do. And I think I've put it in one of my other blogs, I can't remember, but this is where one of the police commanders is asked to step up in a performance meeting with all his peers and colleagues, and he's asked to describe you know, what the performance situation is on his streets, where there are drug dealers and activity and prostitution, etc., going on. And clearly this commander is not informed, because there's a video playing at the background behind him in which the opposite is happening to what he's actually telling his peers and colleagues, and it was from the evening before, or quite recently. So he's trying to cover, he's trying to kind of put across the good work that's been done, but clearly it's not happening on the streets. And that individual police leader in the American cop series, The Wire, he's treated pretty brutally. To the point where he's asked to sit down, and someone else is appointed to his position immediately and expected to stand up and give it. So for me, that this Spanish Inquisition theme, this brutality, this CompStat theme, is something that came across to me from listening to DCC Deputy Chief Constable Paul Anderson talking. Now, I say that because that was my takeaway from it, and as an ex-cop, as an ex-performance DI, so I was promoted from sergeant to DI, and my first job was performance DI, and I actually went into one of the second, third meetings and came across this really structured scrutinisation process in performance as it came into British policing. And it came down south from up north and kind of went down all the forces, and it was very much around, right, the spotlight is on you. Here are some questions around your performance that you are required to understand. And I had to get educated pretty quick and ring up a couple of people that were on my DI's course when I went up north to Bishop's Garth, I think it was, and did my national DI's course. And say, look, what's this all about? And it was very interesting when I had those conversations with my peers and my colleagues. And in short, really, it's about you're expected to know the detail. And cops have never done that before. So that's something that, you know, I recognise. And I just wanted to share some of these themes, some of these impressions, my takeaways with it from this presentation, because I found it interesting. So have a look at The Wire. Have a look at the Spanish Inquisition if you want to know what I mean. Just have a quick look at the history of it on Wikipedia. And you'll see the kind of connotations that I'm making here, because... I'm doing it for a reason, and I'm doing it because it was triggered by the approach that I see is being taken here as a theme. But it's very interesting in where it takes you. And in this context, in this presentation, with this DC and this force, the specific circumstances are that the force was the worst performing out of 43 forces. And now it's not. Now it is good. Hopefully it's beyond good. But the journey they've been on in terms of performance is what this Deputy Chief Constable was alluding to. And so I'm now going to roll through and talk you through my notes and some of the points that this DCC Paul Anderson was talking about. So a medium-sized force, and it was very much a victim-focused approach to performance. And 5 years ago the force was put into capability measures, and they were the bottom of 43 forces, and as he describes, it was all in a bit of a mess. The control room was ineffective, and a new chief constable was appointed around about 6 years ago. So he said, let's just reset the picture here. Policing is complex, but it is not sophisticated. It's relatively simple. And that they came up with a plan on a page. Now, that is a simple way of actually laying out what it is you do, what contribution you make, and how you police. A plan on a page. One side of A4, landscape. If you can't put it on there, you know, go away and write a book about it, because you've got to keep it simple. So what are the key priorities? What are you going to focus on? What will you do? So from a force perspective, he said that was really interesting. Trying to keep it simple. The pillars, you know, response policing. You have to have a response policing function. Then the detection and prevention of crime, the primary functions, the primary priorities, if you like, and neighbourhood policing, ensuring that they are resourced. And then your investigation arm and a couple of other key areas. So, you know, firearms, etc. So that was all laid out on a priorities plan on a page. And if you have listened to any of my podcasts before, I've actually done one all around plan on a page, because as a promotion candidate, that's also a technique that you can use that's very good for scoping out what it is as an overview. So you can put that piece of paper on the floor, stand up and look down at it when it's populated by you with your thoughts, what you're looking at, and look down on it as a helicopter view. And if you can't get all your prep for a promotion board on one side of A4 landscape, and then stand up and look down on it and put it on your lap and read it, it's always a work in motion, but you should be able to do that. And most of my successful candidates can do that. It's one of the techniques, it's one of the suggestions that I make. Is, you know, people come to me with folders of stuff when they sit down with coaching, or I ask them, how are you preparing at the moment? Well, hang on, I'll just get me another folder out. They've got loads of blue books. And I say, okay, you know, put that all to one side. Work with one piece of paper. Work with a plan on a page. And it just adds that clarity. It allows you to prioritise. So I was interesting to see that the plan on a page, the granny test, as he called it, you know, what would your granny expect? Let's reduce this down to, you know, detecting and preventing crime. So that was kind of useful for me to see where they started. And then he looked at what performance was, you know. Performance is about what we do. And that's kind of simple analogy, a simple meaning, a clarification of what it's about. Performance is what we do. Now, I would say also performance is around professionalism. It's how you demonstrate your professionalism as an organisation. And professionalism is a value, and it is a value in the Metropolitan Police. So there's a good link there between demonstrating the integrity of the organisation, if you like, the commitment of the organisation, the value of professionalism through performance. So that's quite good. They started with that, you know, performance is what we do. And then Paul Anderson, the DCC, said, for it to work, it has to be detailed and it has to be at every level. He said, because when it goes wrong, you know, the politicians, the media, everybody lines up to have a go at the police. And yet it's quite simple. It is and can be quite simple in one respect. It has to be detailed. It has to be at every level so that you've got that. You know, you can scratch the surface and get down to what matters. So he said the way to deal with that is you need to pick measures. Step one. Step two, be absolutely meticulous about them. So once you've got this clear framework sorted around the measures you're going to work with and apply, you've got to be meticulous about them. So the special ingredient, if you like, that he alludes to in Humberside is, you know, that the chief officers, as he describes it in a supportive way in terms of scrutiny, in terms of getting into the detail, is that every one of the chief officers get down into the weeds. They have their hands, what he calls, well and truly dirty, if you like, in terms of getting in amongst the detail that you probably sometimes wouldn't expect from senior officers, because, you know, as a lot of people talk about, cops don't do the detail, senior officers don't do detail. Well, there is a generalization, because a sweeping generalization, because, you know, some do too much detail, they are micromanagers. And I think that's the point I took from this, is that, you know, there is a micromanagement approach here, but it's for a reason. And it is a part of a collective approach to helping the organisation, forcing it, compelling it to move from good or from bad to good. As he describes it, this continuous improvement expectation that runs as a thread through the organisation. And certainly from his perspective as DCC, he expects his chief officers to know the detail on this issue. Okay, the chief constable also does this. The chief constable dips into chief officer's performance. So from the chief, from the deputy, down through the ACCs, there's this expectation that, you know, they will have a overview and they will know the detail of what's going on. Now, he talks about performance starting in the control room. That is where performance for the organisation started and the process started. And he talked about the abandonment rate for, you know, 999 calls. How many people, how many members of the public ring 999, you know, get peed off, you know, they get upset because they're not getting an answer and they hang up. So he said the first focus for them is, you know, what is the abandonment rate? And above 5%, you know, the view was, you have a problem. He believes you have a problem if that's the rate. And he referred to his force's rate as of the day before, so the day before yesterday, at 0.5%. So that's very much a focus, he said. A real scrutiny focus is around when the members of the public ring into the control room, that is where our performance starts. So let's have a look at that. And that's what they did. And he said, I took the approach, the view, I run the force on this. I know the detail, or I should know the detail. So, you know, he also said around how many crimes each day. Do I know that? Yes, I do. I know every single day, and I expect all my commanders, I expect everybody to know how many crimes each day, and so that in effect we can record them properly, so that we have that level of detail and scrutiny to work with. He expects his three assistant chief constables to understand the detail on this. Who have we got on duty? How many on duty? Where are they? What are they doing? So there's nothing sophisticated about that, but there is this level of expectation that's kind of baked in from the top down in terms of scrutiny and being able to get down into the weeds when necessary. And he used some language around, look, in terms of response cops, it's not about beasting them, but it is around providing the best support. So ascertaining what that looks like and then delivering it as a command team. The best cars and the best equipment. And if they've got the best cars, the best equipment, and the best support, they can get on and deliver the job that we expect them to do. And he said, in terms of that, he's focusing upon issuing cops with their own mobile and laptop. So every cop has their own mobile and laptop, and that's the process or what the aspiration is to get that done so that they are fully automated as individuals and connected with technology. Every neighborhood cop has their own device. They are all clear on what their tasking and direction is for the day. They're very much around predictive policing, so that cops are able to be on top. Everyone in the organization is able to be on top of the policing information that they need and the crime information that they need, so that the expectation that they know the detail is backed up by the technology that allows them to do that. So I thought that was quite good, as that knocks down through the organisation. There's very much this clear expectation that you'll be on top of your game. Now, the format was a question and answer session, and it kind of moved on, bounced around a little bit. He was asked, "What's your relationship with your police and crime commissioner?" And he said, he responded to the effect of, "Well, it's, you know, it's first class. We work very closely, and when things are going well, you know, it's good to have a relationship like that. When things are not going so well and it's quite testing and challenging, you know, you have to remember it still has to be first class. You still have to work closely, but it can be challenging." But he said ultimately the PCC, the Police and Crime Commissioner, grants you your budget. He grants the force the budget and the opportunity to dive into reserves, financial reserves when needed. So, for instance, when they have to go and ask, as they did, for 100 extra cops, the Police and Crime Commissioner is the bank. But is also, you know, the PCC is also the absolute key to the Community Safety Partnership as its leader, and bringing the system together, bringing all the partners together, and this systems approach to dealing with policing. So, you know, one of the massive problems to come out of that, the challenges, is that, as most cops know around the country, half the stuff that police deal with is not police work. And very much an approach that the cops are change agents, especially the cops on the ground. So this potential, unfulfilled, unrealized potential is there, and cops are the change agents. The cops on the grounds love the technology, is what the DCC was sharing. They like the technology, and they need clear leadership and clear direction. So it's not complex or sophisticated in that way. It's quite simple if you get those priorities met and established. So cops on the grounds like the technology. They need clear leadership and clear direction, and that is what he seeks to deliver with the command team. Now, I'm quoting here, performance can be a little brutal. So this is one of the times you use the term brutal. And this theme, as you can see from the top down, I'm starting to set out the pillars, if you like, the key points around this expectation, this Spanish Inquisition approach across the board. So performance can be a little brutal, as it can be uncompromising. And I think he said that with a bit of pride, you know, because it can be brutal, it can be challenging, and it can be very uncomfortable for people. You know, when I allude to the fact that, you know, I, as many cops listening to this, as many people, if you want to go and ask questions, you know, this kind of scrutinization performance process, you know, policing by targets and without the backup, without the structure of senior officers, without the structure of technology and without a clear plan, is absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal, because, you know, it's very difficult to answer questions if you can't get down into the detail because you haven't got the systems to allow you to answer that. And going back, you know, a few years, I'm trying to go forward with all of this, but it is also important to think through your own experiences and reflect through them. And for me, you know, there's been some unpleasant behaviour going on by command teams in holding people to account for their performance in this kind of regime. So, you know, there are not many fond memories and some bullying authoritative behaviour that's gone on. And I think bullying is the word that has definitely been applied historically and has been completely relevant to describe it that way under previous performance regimes, which is why I quite, you know, I was quite interested in this and how they've got to where they've got to. And I hope you're picking up some thoughts for yourself and you're working through this yourself. So he said, performance can be a little brutal as it can be uncompromising. There is no leeway. The key to delivering performance for communities and the public is by adopting this approach. They use something in terms of technology to scrutinise performance. So they have something called Power BI. So Power BI's tech is used on every element of our performance. Every element of our performance is Power BI'd. So there's clearly a technological kind of feedback tool and technology that supports this approach. And he also recognised that, you know, this kind of technology turns street cops off. They don't like it. It just turns them off. He said, but that's fair enough because they only need to know where to be and what to do. So that's quite interesting. Yeah, he recognises that the technology might turn people off, and different forces have different technology. So they don't all use Power BI, but clearly there is a technical support in the background that helps them do that. And having recognised that it might turn them off, the clear priorities are cops need to know where to be and they need to know what to do to help them do their job. And this is where I found this quite interesting, because this level of scrutiny, this level of expectation is applied at every rank. So sergeants and inspectors and chief inspectors particularly are expected to know the crime in their area to granular level. And yes, there are consequences if they don't, because you've got to get with the professionalism or not. So there's this expectation that's applied, the technical support and information level of scrutiny or drill down to get into the weeds is provided, and therefore the expectation is there for sergeants and inspectors to know the crime in their area to a granular level so that they're working with the force approach to moving along this kind of continuum of continuous improvement. So there is a Power BI, which is their tech, performance page, a dashboard if you like, and sergeants and inspectors are expected to know their way around navigating it as professionals. So no choice there. You get with the flow, you work with it, teach yourself it, acquire the skills of navigating the process so you can become informed. He talks about performance. He said it means different things to different people, and maybe performance isn't the right word. From a people perspective, performance is about being robbed in the street violently. It's about having your house burgled, people intruding in your house. It's about antisocial behaviour. And it's about child abuse going on in homes. It's about domestic abuse, the abuse of men and women in their own homes by their own partners. So performance is very much around the experiences of people and crime. So, you know, however you choose to interpret it and think around performance, it's about people. And anyone, he said, who has the privilege of leadership in any term or in any way, he said, also has a responsibility to be professional about it. So if you're lucky enough to have a formal leadership position as a sergeant, inspector, chief inspector, you know, it's not about great leadership, he said, by us as command team, by myself. He said, because, let's get this clear, the great leaders are the sergeants, inspectors and chief inspectors. So there's this explicit recognition that actually service delivery is delivered on the ground, and it is delivered by sergeants, inspectors and chief inspectors, which I think most cops would agree with. Clearly what he's alluding to is, you know, in the situation that Humberside found themselves, they needed to move from the worst of 43 forces through over a period of time, preferably the minimum amount of time, to some kind of system, and the key people to help them do that are the sergeants, inspectors and chief inspectors. The leadership then is provided at the top, and I was in no doubt that, you know, this brutal leadership, I suppose, is one way of looking at it, to use his own terminology, is what was needed to pull people in the right direction and also to push them in the right direction. So he said, one of the things he also said was, you know, don't lose sight of the mission. He said, so mission is very much around, but it's basically around keeping people safe. So back to that theme of performance being around people and the experiences through crime that they, and antisocial behaviour that they experience. So don't lose sight of the mission or of your sense of humour, which I thought was quite interesting. Cops do have a sense of humour, even if it's a kind of dark, black sense of humour. That's always been there. And I think that's good advice, you know. Don't lose sight of the mission, you know, which is generally around, you know, building safer communities together. So if you're going for a promotion board, mission, vision and values are critical. They should be on your plan on a page. So what is the mission? What is the vision of the organisation? And not every organisation, not every police force has both, but they will have values, and you need to know them, how they mesh with your own values. And they will have a, you know, a mission generally, which is, you know, building safer communities together. So that's quite simple as well, when you think about it. When you join all this up, I think it is a simple plan on a page that you could adopt. And again, it's for you to think through and to reflect. But what he said is, you know, coming back to this theme of performance, it's very much around continuous improvement. So continuous improvement is absolutely the key to everybody moving along this scale towards getting good and better, or in Peel terms, moving from, you know, inadequate through to, you know, outstanding, which is the gradings on the Peel assessment reports, HMIC. So he said, he came back to the reminder, you know, policing is not complex. Policing is complex, but it's not sophisticated, and a simple approach to performance can be taken. Yeah, a bit of sense of humour. We love the HMIC coming in and inspecting us. So I think it's a double-edged kind of comment there, because no force really likes Peel coming in. But again, it's another level of scrutiny. It's another way of them coming in and helping forces to recognise where they are from an independent type inspection from outside, even though they're generally former chief constables or very senior officers who come in as inspectors. So the new Peel inspections are slimmed down, but he alluded to the fact that the time taken is not. So it's still 7 months to prepare as a command team, as a force, for the last Peel inspection. Now, although that is quite a big expectation, takes up a lot of time, he said that you can prepare for any inspection process. If you commit to it, you can prepare for it. And an interesting comment that he said that I thought was quite interesting is, you cannot hide the personality of a force. You cannot hide the personality of a force. So I thought that was quite interesting because the HMIC, I never thought about it in that way. You know, the HMIC presents the personality of the force as it is at that time, you know, based on what they're looking at under effectiveness, efficiency and legitimacy, which are the three inspection areas. And I just thought that was a really interesting perspective. You cannot hide the personality of a force. So he said, on this, to get the force ready to move through these questions that are asked by HMIC, they set up HMIC boards. So, and we were inadequate across the board. Okay, so that was the snapshot, that's where they were at that time. So he said the HMIC have a set of questions, 12 or 13 questions. And interestingly, as a promotion candidate listening to this, you can go and have a look at those. I've done some Peel Report snapshot videos. So if you go across to YouTube, Rank Success, and subscribe, when your force comes up, and I think Humberside's report is due soon. So if you're an officer in Humberside, you will find a summary video there shortly, as there is for other forces, so the Met and Thames Valley Police, etc. I've done their Peel Report short videos, again, because, you know, not everybody likes to read through this stuff. Some people just like to see a summary video, and there's one for each force. So he said there are 12 or 13 questions, key questions that they get asked, and their approach in Humberside to do this comprehensively, to a level of granular detail and scrutiny, was to appoint a lead officer for every question that the force will be asked and inspected under. And then every question, every leader for each of those questions were brought together under an assistant chief constable, and they had a board where those questions were scrutinised in detail, and the conversations around them in detail came out. And he said, you know, our dirty washing came out, our performance failures, our areas for improvement, our systems checks, if you like, and gaps were identified, or lack of them. He said it was like a horror movie at the beginning when we did this scrutiny process. And we emerged, you know, we actually emerged with two or three key things that were important. So the process was good to get there, but it was difficult testing and challenging. And that's the way they dealt with it. Every question had a lead officer put, you know, to go away and tackle it and find out information. He said, but what we ended up with was something very helpful. We ended up with a five-year library of what has been done before, and we revisit it. And all those questions, those individual questions, to be able to see the evolution of change in performance through our force. So that's unique. A five-year library in terms of looking at each of those questions under the Peel inspection to see the evolution of change in the organisation, to understand the gaps, to identify what needs to change, where things need to be resourced, and how to move through this continuous improvement journey from, you know, the past, from the present and into the future, the force needs to go. So he said, therefore, they kind of develop this consistent question set that is set annually, and then you produce a response and a presentation for every single question. So every lead officer delivers a presentation on where they are with where the force is in relation to that particular question for the force. So, you know, some of those questions are, how effective is the force at using its resources? How efficient is it? What are the issues around legitimacy? You know, how does the force, the communities in the force, view the legitimacy of policing services in that force? So, as I say, there's a whole load of questions set and agreed, and an individual officer appointed for each of those questions, an ACC appointed to have a board with those officers to go through the detail, and then the DCC chairs the board with the ACCs to actually look at the higher level detail and, you know, the decisions that are required. So that was quite interesting, the approach they took to do that. And again, it's still consistent with this theme of the Spanish Inquisition, this level of scrutiny and granular detail, and the expectation that everybody owns performance. It's in the DNA, if you like, of the organisation. So I think, you know, to summarise, I think once you've rechipped, recalibrated and refocused everybody's attitudes and the expectations, you can move a step closer and a step away from being the worst towards that journey of becoming better and, you know, ultimately destination, you know, being outstanding on the peel. So I get it, and that's why I found it quite useful. And yes, I have actually been called, and I take it as a compliment, you know, an anorak. So someone's just said, Steve, you're an anorak with this, you know, you've left policing. How are you still an anorak with this kind of stuff? And so first and foremost, I don't think I am, but I take it very much as a compliment, because I am out there, I am attending things like the emergency services show out of interest, but I like to think I'm surfing ahead of my customers, delivering products like this podcast, free blogs, and YouTube videos to support, to challenge, and to respectfully, you know, provoke your thinking, or certainly to help you to do that as a candidate, because that's exactly what you're going to be doing and what you should be doing from now on, or what you might choose to be doing, and which I would suggest you to be doing, which is thinking through these issues now so that it's easier when you're in a process, a selection process, because that's exactly what you'll be doing. And that's a continuous process through all the way through to sitting on that interview chair. And if you've been thought through some of these issues in some detail, when you don't have to, if you like, as part of your preparation for a board, it comes a lot easier, because your brain's just going, hey, I know this. I have briefed myself well. I am a well-briefed, well-prepared promotion candidate. And that's different to being a good operational cop. You know, same animal, two sides of the same coin, if you like. There's no point going in as a good operational cop to a promotion selection process, because you're not nuanced enough. You haven't gone into some of these issues. So it's a little bit more difficult to describe from a leadership perspective as an aspiring leader, you know, what performance means to you, what your view around performance is. As a newly promoted leader, what approach will you adopt to team performance? So again, you can easily flip some of these issues into predicting potential promotion board questions. Okay, he also recognised, look, this stuff is detailed and it's tedious. It's detailed and it's tedious. Now, who's got an appetite for that? Really. There's an honest kind of admission there that it's, you know, it's detailed, it's tedious, but, you know, on the latest Peel report, and he did allude to it, it's been embargoed, so he's unable to share the news, but he's hoping that, you know, all of this work has been recognised and that they will move significantly along the way towards good. And he said, you know, I'm dealing with and managing £250,000 of public money. I've got to be accountable for it. You know, I think he used the term, I've got to sing for my supper as a DCC. And, you know, we accept it is a massive challenge. He said, but I want to make sure I'm spending that public money. And essentially, you know, I mean, that's bang on, really. And it would be, because he's sharing that as an insight in a meeting. But, you know, performance is essentially about effectiveness and results. It's about effectiveness and results. Two different sides of the same coin. You know, effectiveness and results. And it's also about the public purse. It's about public money. And the Peel report lends itself very well to that in terms of inspection. You know, how effective is the force, you know, in spending that money? How efficient is it in terms of managing the resources and allocating the resources? And as a result of that, you know, the legitimacy issues, how do the communities and the public in that particular force, what's their perspective around it? How well do they think the force is performing? So it all kind of fits well together. Even though, as he said, you know, just coming back to the fact, it's detailed and it's tedious, but, you know, onwards we go. Okay, So one of the questions he was also asked was, how did you bring everyone in the force along with you? And he said, well, that's fairly easy. We divide it into two, police staff and cops, and we look at what's required. So, you know, we want people to all move in the same direction. And he said, and any force that talks about well-being and doesn't deliver on supporting and enabling processes, you know, is off the mark. You know, policing is a hard job. So we need to focus on leadership for people as they need it. And we have to focus, he said, on, you know, what leadership is. And this is why I thought it was quite useful, particularly, you know, if you're listening to my dulcet Brummy tones now. You know, for me, this is about me sharing my reflections, if you like, on his reflections, because I was at the meeting. So I quite like this takeaway, you know, that leadership is essentially about your people, your stuff, and yourself. So as a leader, you need to be focused on simple things: your people, your stuff, and yourself. So if you allude to what I said earlier on, you know, within promotion frameworks and assessment processes, leadership is, if you put it in context, around people, which is the first point he makes, your stuff, I would call that performance, in the context of the leadership in the workplace, and yourself. Well, you're changing as you go through, whether you know it or not. So leadership for people, performance, and change is kind of correlates with what his view are there. You know, leadership in simple terms is around your people, your stuff, yourself. And as a leader, these are the things that, you know, you deal with. And therefore, it's simple, not complicated, if you keep it simple. So he said one of the other, just moving on a bit now, he said one of the other things he did was put a £28 million build into their control room. So that's quite a big decision, he said, for me to make, is, and for us to make as a force, is, you know, to spend that kind of money to get the control room processes right. Because as I said before, as he said, it's about, you know, getting the control room calls right and managed effectively in terms of performance. He was also asked, have you invested in occupational health and support systems and extra help? And he went off on one then, really, around, you know, very much so. So if we are talking about well-being and we are, you know, serious about it and we're putting in the enabling processes and systems to deal with that, he said that comes down to leadership as well. That is about people. So if an officer is assaulted, I will ring that officer. If necessary, he said, and if it's appropriate, and it's probably more normal than not, I'll ring that officer every day. Now, I thought that was quite unusual, because I don't, it may well happen, I don't know, but I've not known that happen, and certainly, you know, DCCs are really busy, but there's the connection with leadership for people, where your DCC shows that leadership in terms of, you know, potentially ringing you every day if you're off, if having been assaulted, if you're sick. Interestingly, he said, I'd be very interested and I'd be disappointed if the BCU commander hasn't rung in before me. So as a leader, I'd be very interested in why that has happened. And I would expect to, you know, the BCU commander to have rung the individual, to have called the individual before I did. So that was quite an interesting thing in terms of accountability and real leadership, if you like. And he said, this knocks down through the organisation and carries on. So let's look at it at sergeant level. Do I expect my sergeants to check the probationer officers' workbooks in terms of their portfolios, what they're doing and how they're growing and learning and developing every week? Yes, I do, he said. That is basic coppering. That is the kind of leadership that, you know, I experienced that cops should have the benefit of. And he said, and that is an expectation. Yes, I do expect, you know, sergeants to be doing that with probation officers so that they learn the skills and they have the checks and balances built in around that. And so there's very much a 7-point plan in place for that in terms of delivering leadership from the top down, if you like, in terms of what that means for people, leadership for people. And of course, it links to the performance of the organisation, because, you know, well-managed, well-led people leads to a well organisation, I suppose, is a way of putting that. So, you know, well-led, well-managed people leads to a well organisation is the points I think he was making there. So this next part, that I really like this, because if you're someone who's going for a promotion, and you know, I alluded to the promotion digital toolkits that you can download straight away, the videos, the free blogs, the free podcasts, all the stuff to help you. But if you want to download a bespoke digital toolkit and you're going from inspector to chief inspector, one of the ways in which I encourage officers and suggest officers approach it is to imagine, and to be fair, that's why I quite like this kind of, I'll be careful what I say, this theme of brutality, because you won't get treated brutally on a promotion board. Although, whatever people say, if you've prepared well, as some people say in my testimonials, if you want to read through, Steve, I actually thoroughly enjoyed my promotion board. Now, who does that? Who enjoys a promotion board? Well, I would say people who commit to the work required to set themselves apart from the candidates. It stands out, and it adds an opportunity, a chance for you to enjoy your promotion board. But just coming back to what I say in the inspector and chief inspector's kind of bespoke toolkit is, imagine coming in and sitting down and you are treated, you know, impolitely, brutally, straight on, matter of fact kind of thing. And they say to you, good morning, tell us about your achievements. No niceties. And that's one of the kind of points I put in my digital toolkit, to get people really in the zone of preparing effectively. Because if you can prepare for that, actually it's going to be a much nicer experience, because they're not going to say that to you. Because could you give us an example of the kind of things that you've achieved as a chief inspector candidate that links to improved performance? Something like that. You'll get a question like that. But it certainly won't be, good morning, sit down, tell us about your achievements. But in this talk at the emergency services show, it was quite interesting that the host, if you like, that was asking the questions, asked a couple of questions that kind of met this brutal theme that the DCC alluded to. So he said, what have you delivered to the DCC? So I thought that was quite good. And what have you achieved? So that's kind of correlates with the kinds of questions that I think you could probably face in a brutal situation like that. So holding the mirror up to him, the kind of interviewer said, what have you delivered and what have you achieved? I thought that was quite good. They didn't let him off the hook. And so in terms of what you delivered, he said, well, the Police Federation survey, the National Survey of Pay and Morale, Humberside has been top. He said, I'm very proud of that. But I ask myself all the time, are we the best, or are we just the best of the worst? There's always more to do, but we could be best of the worst, he said. So I need to kind of keep the rolling focus on that. But I'm very proud of the fact that Humberside has been top. So we must be doing something right. So in terms of what we've delivered, yes, there's more to do, but that's where we are at the time. And I think that's delivered for people. The next question, what have you achieved? So obviously, clearly he had a clear brief on what he's achieved. Well, crime is down 10 to 15% in the key areas that we're focusing on. Next challenge, or the next area for focus, is public trust and confidence. It's never been higher. So that is something that you still need to keep moving with, public trust and confidence, and continuous improvement around that. And he's looking forward to the Peel report presenting. He said, I think it will reflect the journey that we're on and where we are now as we move towards that continuous improvement and away from worst performing to good. And the lowest sickness in two decades. Great response times. and a great relationship with the public and staff, with the caveat that this is testing and challenging, of course. So I think there's a reality check there in terms of he was able to respond to those two questions with meaningful responses that are relevant to what he's been trying to achieve and what the force is collectively trying to achieve and all the people in there. And I think as a promotion candidate, if you put those two questions as potential questions in your armoury, certainly if you're going for chief inspector, and if you're going for inspector as well, you know, just imagine you just got an hour, your colours to the mast. What have you delivered for the organisation? And that's linked to the competency. You know, we deliver, support and inspire. And again, I've done short videos on that to help you think through those issues. You know, and what have you achieved? There's no point going for a promotion board if you can't talk about what you've achieved. And generally, that's not run-of-the-mill stuff. That should be stuff that has really helped move the force from where it is, or where it wants to be, or what the priorities of the force are. So, again, just coming back to this Spanish Inquisition theme, which I think ran like a golden thread for me as someone listening to that presentation. It ran like a golden thread throughout his presentation. And no one expects the Spanish Inquisition. Nobody. And least of all, I expect some of the cops, some of the leaders, some of the managers, some of the police staff in Humberside, you know, they may well not have been expecting the Spanish Inquisition. And I think they all probably do now. But I know that there'll be other forces because, again, one of the themes, certainly Lord Hogan Howe in the first talk and Deputy Chief Constable Paul Anderson both alluded to, you know, 43 different forces doing things in 43 different ways, banging that drum again. Well, I mean, you know, for me, again, listening to that, I go, we've heard that for years. We know that it's probably ineffective and inefficient in lots of different ways. But who's going to grab that thorn? Who's going to grab that nettle? You know, they've certainly alluded, people certainly allude to, you know, nine forces potentially being a structure, an alternative structure. And some forces have, you know, collaborated together to merge together, to work on collaboration. But it hasn't come off. And I think ultimately it's been tried and tested before. It's just going to take that political appetite, that political will, and truckloads of cash, I suppose, to make it happen. And without that will, without that drive there, it will potentially continue across 43 forces, spending money to the best of your ability in terms of effectiveness and efficiency and value. But ultimately, strategically, getting that wrong, knowing you're getting it wrong, or expecting that, you know, because of all the reflections of all the retired leaders leaving policing saying 43 forces isn't appropriate or right, something different is likely to be far better, far more effective and efficient. And essentially people just going meh, you know, yeah, so what, yada yada yada, and you know, we carry on with the zeitgeist. So again that's just me kind of reflecting and thinking to myself, but what do you think about that? You know, because one of the questions you could get asked, and I know have been asked, are, what are your views on, you know, having so many police forces? What are your views on 43 police forces? And of course, one of the things in a promotion selection process are, you know, for you to have, what I always encourage people on this plan on a page, to have your own thoughts. You know, promotion board, although they're there asking you set questions related to competencies at the level of the rank you're going for, well, yeah, they also like to hear some thoughts. They also like to hear your personality surface. So I always encourage people to consider the structure, the response for their, or the structure for their verbal response to any questions asked, to include sharing with the promotion board your own thoughts wherever appropriate. You know, so, well, look, my own thoughts on that are. Don't ever be afraid of saying that. And actually, the best candidates do share their thoughts, because you've got to be innovative and open-minded as well. So again, I encourage you, as well as having your own thoughts as a box, to also have your own ideas around innovation, creativity. You know, what are the force doing well at the moment? What could the force be doing better? What does good practice look like elsewhere? And what are your own thoughts about things? You know, you're getting promoted for your innovation, your creativity, your ability to lead change. You know, everything can't be right. So again, I just encourage candidates as part of their preparation for a promotion board to think about what they would change if they could. And again, there's another question that you could be asked. Look, if you were the chief constable, what would you change tomorrow? And if you look through some of the literature, and you'll see that I recommend reading literature for people, you can go around, you know, read Stephen Covey, for instance, you know, The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, and other books. And you'll see, you know, there are techniques that work very well for leaders. You know, what works well around here? You could ask your team. What doesn't work well around here? What's not working well? And if you were me, or if you were the chief constable, if you were leader of the organisation, what would you change tomorrow and why? Because those are the kind of questions that if you ask yourself, you can also actually work through and ask your team. So again, further literature around turning the ship around, which is a famous book around, you know, taking a ship from being the worst performing ship in the Navy. I think it was Mike Abrasoff that did that as well. To the best performing ship in the Navy in 18 months, just an 18 month journey. What happened for that to occur? Because this performance presentation is very much like, you know, turning the ship around. So, you know, going out to your teams from team level as a sergeant, as an inspector, in terms of one-to-ones, in terms of group meetings, team meetings, performance meetings. Okay, what's working well? Yeah, great. What's not working so well? What do we need to focus on? And what needs to change, you know, in the short, in the medium, in the longer term? How can we improve? How are we improving? So that's very much a theme as well that I take from the presentation by Paul Anderson. Yes, you can move across to the Genghis Khan type approach. I'm laughing there because I've just been listening to an audio book around the history of Genghis Khan, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And when you talk about this this Spanish Inquisition approach and this theme of brutality, you know, you don't want to be treated like that by leaders. Nobody wants to be treated in a way, but also, you know, you don't get an omelette without breaking eggs. And I don't say that because I'm not talking about breaking people. I'm talking about scrutinising processes. I'm talking about, you know, cracking those processes open and looking at them and saying, are they fit for purpose? Are they working now? In terms of a systems approach, which he alluded to, which Paul Anderson approach alluded to, a systems thinking approach, how do all these things join up properly? And again, you know, I'm stepping aside very quickly at this, things like blockchain technology, the blockchain, if you like, if you're into, you know, researching cryptocurrencies, one of the other areas I'm kind of looking at the moment, the technology behind that. You know, how are things joined up so that they are the best they can be and that there are no areas for corruption, if you like, or catastrophic performance failure? It does what it says on the can. And it's the best it can be done at the moment until you learn new things. And if you've got that overarching, there you go, there's a kind of, I'll just use one of those force performance bingo words, overarching performance. There are many more for those of you who know what I'm talking about. Force, you know, management bingo, let's drill down, overarching, you know. There's lots of them there, and I welcome any other suggestions, and perhaps I can compile one for you. But again, you know, the Genghis Khan, the Spanish Inquisition, this brutality that's alluded to, is necessary at certain times in order to turn the ship around. And it looks like, it sounds like, and it feels like, you know, Humberside from that presentation has done that, is doing that. And, you know, as with a supertanker, you know, supertankers don't turn around very quick. They don't change direction very quick. You know, they come around gradually, but then they're on course. And so for me, it was very useful for me to kind of go to that that presentation, to listen to it. And then as I'm driving home, to reflect it. And now, you know, the next morning I'm sat here sharing my thoughts and reflections with you on this broadcast. And I hope you found it helpful. in terms of performance, because make no mistake about it, it's one of the key areas that you are responsible for at your level, in your force, and you're essentially delivering on that for people, for the communities in your force. But as a leader, as a manager, as a supervisor, you're leading your teams in doing this as well and fulfilling your part, your role in the organization to help that happen. So although there's this theme of the Spanish Inquisition there, and no one expects the Spanish Inquisition, he kind of alluded to it as, look, we run Thrive through this threat, harm, risk, etc., vulnerability, engagement. They run through this on every incident. Then they re-thrive it. They do it again. How can we prevent this happening again? Who should own this? Who needs to own this now? Because it's not a police issue. Let's deal with it there and then. And then we re-examine it again after we've done that process. So I thought that was quite, that alludes to what I've just been talking about, different levels of scrutiny on the same incidents. And he said that let's bring that back. That's around preventing and detecting crime. That's what the public expect. And that's the clear expectation at every level in our process. So again, kind of repeating a theme there, but he talked about it as being professionalism, absolute professionalism. And he said, so coming back and finishing with the control room theme, it was very much around, when we came, we identified early issues. Okay, let's bring in an outside call manager, call center manager. Let's professionalize this to industry standard. And then let's have the scrutiny, or the standard of no compromise. So we've moved through that process, he said, of actually appointing a call centre manager from outside with a deputy chief superintendent in charge. The head of control room is now an ACC, an assistant chief constable, with a chief superintendent, a chief inspector, and these concepts of professionalisation to industry standard and no compromise cut through where we are now. He said, my challenge as a DCC is to invest correctly in it and to make sure we're making the right decisions around investment in it, to keep it where it can be and to improve it. And yes, I take a Spanish Inquisition approach to that. So clearly a process that's been continuously scrutinised. And he said, some of the other things he said, to return to this theme of brutality, to get from good on Peel, to get too good on Peel as a grading. So just a reminder, it goes from, requires improvement, inadequate, to good through to outstanding. To get from, inadequate to good on Peel, yes, took some brutal leadership and management. But getting from good to outstanding will be more about our people, because the environment has been created now. The expectations are there. We can ease off a little bit as far as we can, and that will be delivered now through chief superintendents. But we will never, and staff going down through to sergeants and through to constables, because everybody's well informed, they've got the equipment, the expectations are there. The system has been, reset, recalibrated, refocused. And we will never drop this model. We will never drop the model of continuous improvement. So that was quite interesting as a kind of journey through their approach to performance management. And, for me, it's not very often, you would get the privilege of being able to sit there and listen to a DCC talk about that. So that's why it was very useful for me to do. And I didn't want to kind of throw away these notes this morning. And someone actually asked in the audience questions around recruitment in Humberside, and he alluded to, well, look, we've got 300 cops from the PCC, from 350 from the uplift. We have 150 every year to kind of turnover type thing. And now we've got all these entries, five different ways into policing, from DHEP, IPLDIP. They're still using that at the moment while they can. It's not perfect. And in 5 years, we've effectively replaced half the force with the turnover and the churn, that occurs. And he said that, quick look. Just moving through my notes here. That again, you know, we to deal with some of this, we're keeping the 30 plus scheme in place. So, you know, bringing back officers with specialist skills, so particularly around public protection, detectives, and firearms, we're having that option of the 30 plus scheme in place. Direct entry detectives and skills, are bringing them in, putting them through the process, getting them that set of skills that they need operationally, teaming them up with wherever they need to be to deliver those skills and acquire that confidence. In 5 years' time, they will be meeting their expectations. And he said, and by the time the uplift finishes, you know, he said, you know, we will not be one cop under recruitment limits when they close the doors. So again, they're focused very much on this. And then finally, the last thing I wanted to talk about that I thought was quite interesting was, you know, one of the cops in the room, and there were a couple of cops and specials and stuff that asked questions, was mental health. So one of the questions was, you know, how do you deal with the proportion, the national issue, the national challenge of cops' time being taken up with mental health issues? And that was really interesting, I found, the response with that, because one, it's a current topical issue, and two, he responded to that by saying, well, look, I lead on a scheme, a programme called Right Care, Right Person. So the right care for the right person. He said, and 22 forces have come to see what we're doing. And he said, during austerity, policing walked into a punch, and policing has had to fill the gap for other agencies. So other agencies like health and some local authorities, you know, that issue is known across policing, and it's one of the national kind of issues for police officers, is the sheer volume and amount of time, police time, that is taken up in attending, you know, people who are not well, you know, not criminals, people who are not well at certain times. So he said the biggest reduction that we've had through this program is we've reduced our demand by 20%, so 20% less calls into our call centre for mental health issues. Why? Because I won't accept it. This was quite interesting. It's quite refreshing for me to hear, actually. I was unaware of it. So we've reduced our calls by 20%, and we've reduced our deployments to mental health issues by 50%. Now, that is really kind of refreshing to hear. I don't know the details. By all means, you know, if you're involved in that part of performance in your force, you know, I'm sure he will share those details if you write to the force or ring up and find out how they're doing that. But, I mean, that seems like massive, massive move in the right direction. And I think, you know, without drilling into it, he said that, you know, he pulled together, he's the Deputy Chief Constable. So he pulled together, under that programme, the right care, the right person, and with his contacts, his networks and leadership, to be able to pull together all the right people involved in that process, health, the local authorities, and to the point where he made it clear, we will not turn up. Now, clearly, if there's someone in danger, in that threat of risk and harm, the police will respond to the incident, of course. But there is this focus, this scrutiny, in the same way I've talked about the performance issues, applied now to who is responsible, which agencies should be delivering care. So he said, we'll always turn up if someone's in harm. Yeah, of course we will. He said, but if someone hasn't, if someone does a house check because someone hasn't attended an appointment for their mental health, or they're not taking their medication, that is not an issue for the police. Those kind of issues are ones we are seeking to firmly hand over and to point out and to encourage and to refer those agencies to those. So we will not deal with issues when they're coming into the control room. And at the moment, those are reduced by 20% and our deployments as a result by 50%. Now, you know, out of all of that, out of all the stuff I've said and out of everything I've heard, that is one of the most refreshing things for me to hear, which is trying to push back this tide of the abuse of police time, where, as he alludes to, you know, since austerity, police have had to take on all this work, and it sounds to me like, you know, it's certainly in Humberside that there is a strategy there to kind of start pushing back against that and to get this responsibility, this ownership of incidents and this leadership that's required by other agencies to step up, to the mark and to do it. Yes, it's a complex issue probably, but it seems they're making some inroads into it. So that's it. I mean, I've come to the end of my notes now from that, and I'm glad I had some problems reading my own handwriting there for a while, but I should have been a doctor or something. But I hope you found this meander through these notes around this issue of performance and specifically the Humberside kind of snapshot via their Deputy Chief Constable Paul Anderson. I hope you found it helpful, and just bringing it back as a promotion candidate, you know, it is part of your responsibility. So leadership for people, performance and change, along with your decision making, it's a critical area for you to think through. And I hope you've now got, I'm just looking at the timing on this broadcast, I'm up to an hour and 20 minutes now. I hope you found something valuable in here, some gems, some food for thought and reflection. And wherever you are on your promotion journey, don't forget you've always got help and support available 24/7, 365 days a year. The hours you work as a cop from Rank Success. So whether that's through my podcasts, my YouTube videos, the downloadable guides and toolkits you can acquire, and the promotion masterclass video, all of them are available together with these kind of podcasts on relevant topics. And you know, wherever you are on your promotion journey, I wish you the very best. If I can help, get in touch. And other than that, I will be back with another broadcast or video or podcast with you shortly. And until then, take care, stay safe, and all the best.